Tonight's scripture comes from 1 Peter, various verses from 2nd and 3rd chapters. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you'd be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I love, 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 love. I wish I had a stronger word than love. God's stories. I love to hear how God is working in the ordinary moments of people's lives. I love to hear stories of how God is answering prayers, sometimes prayers that people have prayed for years before they saw God move. I love to hear salvation stories, redemption stories about how broken lives came face to face with the love of God in Jesus Christ. These mile markers in our history as people. Paul, who is a great storyteller, shares his salvation story, his redemption story with us. And we read it actually as Luke tells it in the book of Acts. Of how Paul, who at that time was called Saul of Tarsus, a Jewish man who was passionate about preserving the purity of God's people, who had dedicated his life to eradicating this movement called the Way. These people who were claiming that Jesus was the Messiah, and that even though he was killed by hanging on a cross, that he has risen from the dead, ascended into heaven, and poured out his spirit on his people. This burgeoning movement of the very first Christian church. And Saul of Tarsus was dedicated with every passion, every bit of zeal that he had of making sure that this movement went nowhere. And we're told in Acts 9 that as Saul was breathing out murderous threats toward this baby Christian church, as he headed from Jerusalem to Damascus with a letter from the chief priests in the synagogue giving him permission to arrest anybody who claimed the name of Jesus, he was stopped cold by a bright light that came from heaven. And he heard this voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice tells him, "I am Jesus, the one that you're persecuting." And it's this amazing moment where Paul is caught in the light of God's glory and loses his physical vision, and his friends have to help him get to Damascus, where this amazing story continues as Paul is praying and God sends Ananias to lay his hands on Saul that he gets his sight back. And Saul, who later on became known by his Roman name, Paul, became this force for Jesus Christ, who helped move ahead this movement, this baby church that he had sworn to destroy. It's an amazing story of how God can take anybody and transform their lives. It's a dramatic story. As a matter of fact, people who have dramatic stories like this, we often call them road to Damascus conversions. And sometimes we're fortunate enough to know people who have stories like this. Many of you who have been here on a Sunday morning occasionally have gotten a chance to hear our friend Jeff Bazziani from the Forward Church in Cleveland tell his road to Damascus story. A man who was a drug dealer who was making all sorts of money, all sorts of accomplishments in this world of drugs, who still was empty and broken and wound up calling out to God to help him, which led him to a jail cell where, while reading the Bible, he came face to face with Jesus Christ. He changed his life. Who now is using him in the Slavic village of Cleveland to bring life and hope and Jesus Christ to broken people. Streets that he once, as in his words, he pillaged. Now God is using him to rebuild them. It's an incredible story of a real life person that we know. You know, but there are salvation stories, though less dramatic, that are even probably more beautiful. There are stories of people who have kind of been born into the church, who have always come to church, who have always known about God, and at some point in their life realized that they wanted him to be their Savior and their Lord, and lived these quiet lives of faith without these dramatic up and down hills that some of those Road to Damascus conversions have. They're beautiful stories, these stories of God pulling hearts to him, whether it's in a slow, gentle way or whether it's in a dramatic fashion. They're great stories. And as I read the scripture, I realize that God is calling his people to be storytellers from the very beginning. God's people told the story of God's faithfulness. The story of this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who took his people to a promised land. These people who were then taken over in slavery, who God brought out of slavery and back into this land that he had promised their father Abraham. And they told the story of God's faithfulness again and again and again. They reminded themselves continually of what God had done in their midst. And again and again in the scriptures, particularly in the Psalms, we're told to remember, to remember, to remember. When people encountered God, they tended to build an altar or a memorial or something to remind themselves, to tell the story again and again of what God has done. In the book of Deuteronomy, we're told to tell our children again and again about this wonderful Lord God who loves his people. God designed his people to be storytellers, to continually tell the story of God's interaction in the human race, to continually tell the story about how God saves broken people, to continually tell the story of how this amazing God bursts into our ordinary moments in our ordinary lives with extraordinary grace and love and power. In the verses that Doug read for you, Peter tells the church that they should always be prepared. Always be prepared to give the reason for the hope that's in them. I don't believe for a minute God is asking us to all be theologians, to be able to pull out Greek and point out these great theological truths and reality, although God does call some people to that. I believe what Peter is telling this church, telling us today through these words, is that if we've met Jesus Christ, he's changed our lives. And if he hasn't changed our lives, then we need a little bit more of him. We need to bow our knee to him. We need to ask him into our lives. It's interesting to me that Peter says, be ready at all times to give a reason for this hope when somebody asks, which means there's something about God's people that other people see and want to know what it is that gives us joy, what it is that gives us peace, what it is that makes us a people of hope, that even when the world around us is falling apart, we have a reason to sing praise. So God's inviting us, Peter is inviting us as well, to be storytellers, to tell the story of God's movement in our lives. Be ready, he says. Because God's going to open that door, especially when we're asking him, God's going to open that door for us to share our story, which is just a little tiny part of God's great story with the world around us. Peter says this as well, but you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's own possession, the people that he chose for himself. Why? So that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Part of the reason God makes us his people is so that we can tell the world what he's done in our lives, that we can sing his praises of this God who, while we were lost, found us. While we were blind, gave us sight. While we were alienated and separated and carrying this load of sin that was overwhelming to us, he forgave us and he set us free and he invites us into this relationship with him. You know, I've said it before, you can also often tell who somebody spends time with by what their stories are about. It's the way I frequently know that my kids had been interested in dating someone new when their conversation was sprinkled with this name that I had never heard before. Because when people mean something to us, when we have a relationship with people, we talk about them because we've spent time with them and things they have said have made an impression on us, and we want to talk about them. And so how much more this God who loves us, this God who forgives us, this God who moves in our life, how much more should we want to talk about him? Not because we have to, not because talking about God is something we check off on our Christian to-do list, but because we are so full of the wonder of who he is and what he's doing in our lives that we can't help but talk about it. So why then, if we are people who have been redeemed by God's grace, if we have met God face to face in Jesus Christ, why then don't we have stories flowing out of us like crazy? I don't know. But maybe a couple of reasons. One, sometimes we're too shy. We're too shy to speak up and tell the great story of what God's done. We're intimidated. We don't feel like our story is really that important in the scheme of things. And I'm going to tell you right now that the enemy would love nothing more than for you to keep on believing that you don't have anything valuable to say, that nobody cares about what you've experienced with God, how he's changed your life. Because the reality of it is, when we tell our story, either our salvation story or the story of God moving in our lives, it gives other people hope. Even when our story sometimes is filled with doubt and questions and a lack of faith, and we discover in the middle of that the faithfulness of God who will not let us go. The God who says, I've written your name on the palm of my hand, no matter what's going on in your head and in your life. When we tell those stories, we not only give glory to God, but we give hope to one another. Every time I hear a story of God moving, of God answering prayers, of God turning a life around, of God working in a situation that seemed like it was lost, it gives me hope. It builds my faith, and that's part of why God put us together in a community, so we encourage each other to grow. As I've spent the last couple months praying about what God has for us as a Thursday night community, as a family of God here at Beverly Presbyterian Church in 2015, I feel so strongly that he is encouraging us to grow, to go deeper, to get more of him, to see our lives more transformed, that it would make a difference at the end of 2015 that we have gathered here every Thursday night. And part of what I believe God is longing to do in us is to make us storytellers. People who remember, who record, who repeat again and again the wonders of what God has done in us. In the book of Revelation, Jesus has messages for seven churches in Asia Minor. And he says to the church in Ephesus, you know, I've seen all your good works. I've seen all the wonderful things you've done. And it's wonderful, but I have this against you. You've forgotten your first love. You've lost your first love. And telling our story to ourselves, to our friends, to our coworkers, to anyone who asks, reminds us of that first love. When I tell the story of sitting out in New Brunswick at the Cook College campus on a hill and asking Jesus into my life for the first time, I remember that moment. That love of realizing that me, this fatherless girl, had finally found a father who would not leave me. I remember being overwhelmed by God's love and asking him to not ever let me think about his grace and the good news of Jesus Christ and not be moved to tears. I remember that. Don't forget your first love. Don't forget the encounters with God that have made you feel overwhelmed by who he is and what he does. We had our prayer vigil Friday night into Saturday, and even though it was a small group of people, we were overwhelmed by this God who invites us into his presence to pray. And it was unbelievable. It had been 1 year since the last time we had gathered together for 24 hours to pray. And as we started talking about the prayers that God had answered in this past year, as we started to see during those 24 hours and right after that, God answering prayers right in front of our eyes, it makes me want to shout hallelujahs. It makes me want to dance, to celebrate this amazing God who is high and lifted up, who is greater than we can ever imagine him to be, who somehow, for some reason, hears our prayers and bursts in to the everyday moments of our lives, who cares about the things that we care about, who is listening even when we're praying the same prayers again and again and again, wondering if he's ever going to answer. And he reminds us that he's going to answer in a perfect way. You have a story or stories to tell. And if you think you don't have a story to tell, then that's something you need to talk about with God. You need to ask him to remind you of the stories when he's moved in your life. We need to ask him for the boldness to tell our stories. We need God's Holy Spirit to help us live lives celebrating him so that people ask us, what's the reason you are like you are? What's the reason for this hope, for this joy, for this love, for this peace that I see in your life? That we might indeed declare the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you so much that you have written us into the story of all stories. God, that you have let us be a part of this story of the kingdom of God, and we are overwhelmed by that. We thank you for Jesus who invited us into this story, who shed his blood that we might have eternal life, that we might have this relationship with you. And so, God, we're asking you to bring to our mind stories of what you've done in our lives. God, we're asking you tonight to remind us of our very first encounter with you, of our salvation story. God, of the time you opened our eyes to see the power of the cross of Jesus Christ in our lives. The first time we said to you, Jesus, come, be my Savior, be my Lord. God, if we don't think we have any stories, we're asking you to plant stories in our life, God, to help us invite you in more and more and more, that we would see the marvelous deeds that you are doing in your people today, that we might be a witness for you, God, that we might raise a continual song of praise. God, help us to be storytellers of the greatest story of all time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.